This year is called the Now What. Yesterday we commemorated the fast of 17th of Tammuz. We all fasted. We all felt a little uncomfortable. It was a very long day. This year, especially with the fast coming out so early in the summer, it was, I believe, the longest. And the question I have is, and now what? So we did it. We got through the day. We drank a cup of coffee. Do we go on now and say thank you? Pass the bagels. I was a great guy. Pat me on the back. I'm going to go to sleep. Good night. Next morning, all right, I won't shave. Nope. Instead of having 10 minutes of preparation in the morning, I only have 5 minutes now because I don't have to shave in the morning. This is great. Those that don't have beards in this room, you know what I'm talking about. Now we walk on. We felt uncomfortable. We didn't eat and we didn't drink from sunrise to nightfall. What are we supposed to feel? What is it supposed to do to us? Is it just feel uncomfortable for a day and move on? Or is there something else involved? I believe on this question there's a big machloket, a big difference of opinion between two great, substantial, and I would even say central poskim of the Jewish people, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam, Maimonides, usually agree, and the Shulchan Aruch usually agree. But on this issue, they disagree. And I would like to assume that they don't disagree. They're telling us two things that we have to think about for the next 3 weeks minus a day. Says the Rambam, in the fifth chapter of the Laws of Fast Days, that there are days that we're supposed to fast In order for us to do tshuva, to remember the terrible events that happened, to delve into why they happened, and ultimately to do tshuva. I think the Rambam's on very firm ground. The Yerushalmi says, Kol Dor, every generation, Shalom Yibda Beit HaMikdash B'Yamav, any generation that the Beit HaMikdash was not built, Keilu Nichrav B'Yamav. It was as if it was destroyed. In other words, as long as there's no Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, it seems that the sins that destroyed it are still relevant today. So therefore, according to the Rambam, it's not fasting per se to say, oh, yoy, yoy, what terrible things happened. But rather, it's to say right here, right now, what's wrong? As I'm sitting in 2013, what's not right and how do I go about to fix it? And therefore, the Rambam goes into a very long passage about tshuva, in the fifth chapter of the Laws of Fast Days. He doesn't go into a long chapter of when do you start the fast and when do you end the fast. He goes into a very long survey of tshuva. Why is it out of place? Hilchos tshuva should have been in Hilchos tshuva. The answer, according to the Rambam, is the fast days is a means to tshuva. Can anyone give me a proof from the way we commemorated the fast day yesterday? It's daka, but no, there's a halacha. We halacha we did yesterday. In the minyan, what halacha? What do we read on a fast day?
We read from the
first laning. What did we lane yesterday? What did we read in the Torah? Vayechal, which talks about the Cheta Egel, the sin of the golden calf, which was followed by God forgiving the Jewish people. If you give umido, you can't get more tshuva than slichot. The Yeshua Hashem Behimatz'ol, the Haftorah we read at Mincha, deals with tshuva. Tshuva all around. That's the Rambam's fast day. If you ask the Rambam, and now what? The Rambam said, I hope the Jewish people did tshuva. Fasting per se, not the issue. Is they should feel uncomfortable for a day in order to fix what's wrong. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch and omits that whole thing. Some would say he omits because, you know, he doesn't have time. He's writing a code of Jewish law. Just write what the Jewish people have to do and don't have to do. And finished. I like to always read into the Shulchan Aruch. I think he omits things on purpose. You know what he says? He says, there are days that you have to fast in order to remember the terrible tragedies that happened. In other words, according to the Shulchan Aruch, Shuvah aside, why did we fast yesterday?
Remember.
But more importantly, as a means of mourning. You know, when something terrible happens to you personally, a loved one dies, you don't need to fast. There's no halacha you have to fast, because you mourn, naturally. But who's going to mourn naturally over events that happened thousands of years ago? Well, we're going to like all feel very sad because there's a Beis HaMikdash that we never were in, and there's korbanos that we never brought. Oh, it's terrible. We feel awful. I don't know what it means to bring a korban. I don't know what it means to take a little sheep and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. How am I supposed to mourn? So the halacha superimposes upon you a fasting. And thus you feel uncomfortable. And thus you mourn. And you say, ay, 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 what happened on these days? So according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's not a means to tshuva, to get closer to God. It's a means of mourning, of identification and solidarity with the tragedies that happened and are happening to the Jewish people. So as we can see here, there's two different fast days. The Rambam's fast day and the Shulchan Aruch's fast day. The Rambam's fast day is about tshuva. The Shulchan Aruch's fast day is about mourning. And if you look further in the calendar, if God forbid we have to this year commemorate Tisha B'Av as a day of mourning, it's both a day of mourning and a day of fasting. What do I mean? It's a Yom Ta'anit and it's a Yom Avilut. A Yom Ta'anit, what do we refrain from on Tisha B'Av? The very same things we refrain from when? On Yom Kippur. Ta'anit. Yom Kippur is not a sad day, by the way. It's a Yom Kippur. You're sitting Shiva before Yom Kippur. Comes Yom Kippur. Bye-bye Shiva. It's a very happy day in that sense. It's as happy as Sukkot. From that perspective. But on the other hand, it's a Yom Avelut. It's a day of mourning. And it's such a day of mourning that you sit on the floor. And it's such a day of mourning that you don't learn Torah. So ultimately, these two fast days, the Shulchan Aruch's and the Rambam's, come together as we get closer to Tisha B'Av. You had a question.
I'm going to ask you, today of Avilut, why don't we have signs of Avilut?
When?
On some things of
Tisha B'Av. Just open parentheses for the question. Dr. Saviri asked, why don't we have Avilut on the day of Shiva Aser B'Tammuz? The answer is we should have. In other words, a regular fast day includes not doing the five things you don't do on Yom Kippur. However, today, we commemorate the fast days because the Pasuk says in Zechariah there's a fast day, but rather because of a different reason. The Gemara says that when there's peace for the Jewish people, you don't have to fast. And whereas if there's, God forbid, a war, you have to fast. What happens if you're in between? And we're in between. I mean, Baruch Hashem, a state of Israel, a good army. I didn't feel in any way danger yesterday. On the other hand, there's no Beis HaMikdash yet. Our politicians are still a far cry from being the height of morality. So that is a situation where the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chet Amud Bet, you can look it up after the shir, it's right on top of the page, beginning of the page, Yud Chet Amud Bet, 18b, the Gemara says, Ratzu Mitanin, Ratzu Ein Mitanin. If they want, they should fast, and if they want, they don't have to fast.
The Beis Din or the people?
So the Beis Din decided, and the people, and the, I'm not going through the whole thing, but the bottom line is they said, we'll fast, but we're going to limit the fast day. We're not going to keep all the regular things of the fast day. So no Chamishai Nuyim. You can wear leather shoes, you can shower, etc. We're only not going to drink and eat, and only from sunrise to sunset. That's the reason why, on all the, what we call the minor fast days, is even a minor fast day. If, God forbid, we'd be in a time of war, then we would commemorate Shiva Aser B'Tammuz as Tisha B'Av. And indeed, you should know that historically, during World War II, there were Rabbanim that wanted to say that. Okay? We'll close the parentheses. Now, I would like to submit that in the next 3 weeks minus a day, if this is what we're supposed to be thinking about, then we have to go ahead and ask ourselves as follows. Here we are on Yud Chet Tammuz, the 18th day of Tammuz. We have to say to ourselves, are we doing tshuva? And are we showing solidarity with the tragedies? On the one hand, tshuva, I can today to the right list. What do we need to fill? And I'm pretty sure it will be a long list. If after the shir, my friend Yossi here will give out these pieces of paper. We have to fix. I'm pretty sure you'll all be able to finish the page. What do we have to fix personally, in our families, in our community, in Israel, in the world? Tshuva is definitely on the agenda. But on the other hand, we have to show solidarity and mourning with what happened and what happens. And if you read into the keynote of Tisha B'Av, you will see very clearly it's not just what happened. It's not ancient history, to my dismay. It's happening. I'll just give you an example, but I can go on and on. First kina we say in Tisha B'Av morning starts with the word Shabbat Zulumeni. Everything stopped and halted, no more happiness. And Ben Ashar, that kina, says, and I quote, that what they try to do is huvlegu giborai. They try to hide those that are giborim. What's a gibor? A hero. They try to hide our heroes. No, we're living in this day and age. Have you heard what I've heard when people come and say the Six-Day War was the biggest tragedy that ever happened to the Jewish people? And these are not non-Jews. These are Jews saying it. It says in that Kina, Ben Ashar, that they try to cover up our Beis HaMikdash. I mean, they destroyed it and they covered it up. What's happening today on Har HaBayit? Right now, as we sit here, you think the Arabs are seeing ancient artifacts and putting it aside, giving it a kiss, and saying, oh, these are the Jewish artifacts, we're going to keep it for them. We're going to call in Reshut HaAtikot, we're going to call in the Antiquity Society, they're going to check it out, or they're dumping it like garbage. I got a picture on Facebook with the mosque, Kippat HaSela, the golden rock, golden dome, that says on it, no Jews allowed. You can go on Har HaBayit today, yes, without a minyan, and you can't daven there, and the waqf look after you, and God forbid you say one perek Tehillim, they'll kill you, they'll right away call the police. This is happening today. Now we could sit here in a prat and say, alright, it's terrible, it's awful. You know, usually people complain at Shabbos tables, because during the week we don't have time really to eat. So you know, between the chulent and the kugel, ay, this is awful, and the Har HaBayit is like this, and the Arabs should go drop dead, and this should happen, and you pass the kugel. Alright, let's bench, time for my nap now. Finished, let's go to Mincha, we'll eat a good shal shudis. You have to show solidarity with that. It has to bother you on an ongoing level. After all, anywhere you look, it's staring you in the face. Three times a day you stand before God in davening. How do you end that davening? You davened well, you closed your eyes, you shuckled, you meant every word, you looked in the Hebrew, you looked in the English, you finally finished, you feel great! Whoops! Something's still missing in your life. Shabbos! What could be better than Shabbos? Friday night, the family around the table. Shabbos morning, you slept a good night's sleep, 8, 9, 10 hours. You came to shul late, and you didn't even come late, because a davening starts late, and a beautiful davening, and a laning, and a drusha of the rabbi. Wow! And finally, you get to Musav, and right there, Shetaleinu v'simcha la'artzeinu v'titayinu b'gvuleinu. Shabbos is Shabbos, but we're still missing the korban of Shabbos, the korban musaf. Anyway, it's there. We're supposed to feel that solidarity and feel that mourning. It's not enough to go ahead and to basically go ahead and say it's terrible past the truant. It has to be it's terrible, it means something to me. The halacha is that to this very day, we have Zekr l'Churban in our homes and at our weddings and many other times during the year. We leave a little part of our wall unpainted, and at a wedding we break a plate or a glass or whatever, and then Yossi adds benching. Anyone know what he means? No one knows what he means, huh? Okay. Bruce, this call is one big failure because you didn't even learn the first siman in Shulchan Aruch. Siman Aleph. Aleph, Hilchot Hashkamat HaBoker. How do you get up in the morning? No? Look in that siman. The Ramah says, when you get up in the morning, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to get up like a lion, and then the Ramah says, Shiviti Hashem L'Negdi Tamid, God should always be in front of me. And he goes on and on, and what does he say? Yedoeg v'doeg al Churban Beis HaMikdash. Should be, feel terrible that there's no Beis HaMikdash. You just got up in the morning, your eyes are sticky. You didn't drink your cup of coffee yet. The first thing that you should think about, Ben Ashar,
go online to check if the Mikdash has been built.
Is the Mikdash built? So comes the Mishnah Berurah on that Siman. Siman Aleph, Bruce, that you didn't learn yet. But to be more precise, the Kolel didn't internalize yet. Siman Aleph. This is not somewhere else. Right there at the beginning. How to be Jew. First chapter. Says the Mishnah Berurah. We mekayim this by saying Shir Malot before benching or Al Naharot Bavel during the week. In other words, you don't say Shir Malot, let's sing, oh, this is great, Meshuv Hashem et Shivat Zion. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that particular capital Tehillim, that chapter of Tehillim, the chapter of Psalms, is a means to remember the Beis HaMikdash. You ate a great meal. You're about to thank God for the delicious meal. Let's remember the Beis HaMikdash first. During the week, very sadly, Al Naharot Bavel. Shabbos, a little more subtle. Yeshuv Hashem et Shiva Tzion, more optimistic. Every day in benching, says Yosef. Not Epis.
I don't know. I never thought of that because I don't say the
chapter. Oh, too bad. See, I made him look better than he thought.
I refer to Rachem.
Rachem.
All of Rachem.
Rachem Hashem Elokeinu Yisrael Amecha Hashem Elokeinu Yisrael Amecha. All right, Rachem, I have what to say. Of course. All right, the Harachaman, as you know, is Miss Minhag, so it's very much between things, diverse. But ultimately, the Rachem is a very interesting part of benching, but the Rachem can be basically interpreted one of two ways. God have mercy on us, which is not necessarily a velus, but there's no question that it definitely stares you right in the face there as well. Yes?
Is the tshuva more of a national tshuva than a personal tshuva? Because it sounds a little charedish almost to focus on the tshuva, which is national destruction. And
I'm going to answer you simply. It's both. Tshuva. It's absolutely both. And if we get to a situation where you could say, I'm great, and only Jewish people are no good, I'd be very happy to sit down in front of you and sweep your streets. I don't think any of us can go and say it's only national. It's both personal and national. It's both personal and it's natural. In life in general, you show what's right and you try to make the world right. There's a Rishus HaRabim and there's a Rishus HaYachid. We have to make sure that we take care of the public domain and the private domain.
In this day and age, what's national tshuva?
First and foremost,
really,
tachlis. I'm going to steal the time of the next lecturer, but very, very briefly. Around this table, we spoke in the last few weeks about something that I believe this year should be on the top of the agenda, and that is, how do we disagree with each other? Because I am very concerned and worried with the ways rabbis disagree with each other and politicians disagree with each other. It's never done in, I have an opinion and I disagree with him, and I have an opinion and I disagree with him. It's a very far cry from a Beit Shammai and a Beit Hillel and a Abaye and Rabbah. It's I'm right and you're an idiot.
But that's still personal tshuva.
No.
It's
national, because I may be okay, but the way things are being written on the internet, things are being done on the public domain, are being done in a terrible way. That's on the agenda this year. How do we disagree? If you ask me what is the national tshuva this year, is how do we disagree? And I hate to say this, but not everything is a yahareg v'al yavor. And that's the second thing we have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a sense of perspective here. With due respect, okay? The Haredim not going into the army is not going to ruin the army, and the Haredim going into the army is not going to ruin Judaism. We have to have a sense of perspective when we speak about these things, and we have to do it carefully. Number three, I am very concerned about lifestyles being superimposed on other people. I have no problem. As a matter of fact, I am absolutely for having the Haredim being part and parcel of the public domain of the Jewish people. But I not for once will ever say I want to change their lifestyle. They want to sit separately at weddings, isn't they? That's their lifestyle. They want to wear black and white, they can wear black and white. We have to be willing to accept their lifestyle like they have to be willing to accept our lifestyle. Not go ahead and superimpose us on them. That's in the public domain. In the private domain, I can go on and on. But let me just give two things to think about, and with this I conclude in the private domain. Number one, how much is Judaism on the agenda of our homes? On our Shabbos tables? During the week? Do we speak halacha? Do we speak about Torah? Do we make sure that our kids are learning the parsha? Or, you know, we go to Minyan, but that's it. 10 minutes here, 30 minutes in the morning, finished. Gone. Is it religious corners, or is religion another way of saying my life? That's the first thing I think we need to spit in the private domain. Second thing in the private domain, the individualism that's killing me right now. It's vacation time. So I close my window at night, I have an air conditioner, but my neighbors don't. I have parks all around the Frat, we have many parks. You know the noise that comes out of these parks at 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning? People screaming and yelling and shouting and laughing. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
No.
Absolutely no rachmanus. Absolutely no sensitivity to anyone but themselves. I'm an individual. I got my iPod, got my iPad, got my MP3. I don't talk to anyone. I'm an individual. Which leads me to my third issue. I walk down the streets. How many people say a long good morning to you? Once upon a time, when you didn't have an iPad, iPod, and an MP3 on, you all said good morning, good afternoon. You didn't walk by someone and ignore him. But today, we're all connected to our own little worlds. We got our own little computer. We got our own little office, our little cubicle. And that's it. We're totally and utterly in our own little world. So we have a lot to do tshuva for, if you're asking me, privately and publicly. And I can go on and on, but I'm not going to steal the time of the next lecture. That's also something you should do tshuva for. Take care.